Hey, hello, welcome back to the Behind the Scenes podcast. It's me, Farhan. Hello, hi, how do you do? Good evening, good morning. It's been a while, it's been maybe 2 weeks, and I promised to release an episode every week. So by that standard, I've failed. But it's okay, we're here now. You know, I always get, not necessarily nervous, but it's really strange. Before the podcast starts, maybe an hour, the moment I decide, right, I'm going to record, I've got all of these things going on in my head, what I want to say, what I am projected to say. You know, you have that conversation in your head. Yeah, you know, I'm going to say this sentence and this line. Oh yeah, this sounds good. I don't know, maybe it's just me. But the moment I press record, it's just, it's all gone. It's all like, poof. And then I've got all of this space in my head, just filled with air. And like the sound effect of crickets in the background. So, I don't know. I need to sort that out. Maybe preparing will make me sound a little bit smoother. You know? But you know what they say, fail to prepare, prepare to fail. I think it's that way around. Listen, I haven't prepared today's episode either. The gist of the show is that I talk about every video that I release every week, because I do release a short film, a story, something every week on the YouTube. And this week I've released something else. It's been an interesting week, and I should probably go all the way back to the last episode, which was me discussing, and hold on, I am going to pull up the title. Do New Year's resolutions actually work? Right. After that, there was two videos that I released. How I make a film every week. I feel to change that. No, I was going to say I feel to change the title, but I thought it was how to make a film every week, but it's not. It's right. It's how I make a film every week. That was fun-ish. I really should have recorded an episode and dedicated it to this, because this was one hell of a film to record. It was all over the place. And then recently, a day ago, that's yesterday, well, depending on when you're listening to it, but How to Make the Perfect Sandwich was released. Now, there are two types of short films that I make. There are two different types of stories I like telling. There are really serious ones, down to earth, a really powerful message that I'm trying to get across. And those are the types of films that scare me. Those are the ones that I get really anxious and stressy about, because it needs to be nailed. It needs to be absolutely perfect. I need to hit every point, bang in the middle. I can't miss, because the message, the story, whatever it may be, whatever I'm, well, let's go through the list of videos that I've got, and then I can tell you the ones that have been really, really important. Be Obsessed. Winter in London, this was pre kind of me now. That was me figuring out who the hell I was in this space. Be Obsessed was me understanding who I am and kind of venting that frustration. You know, it's me at a point where I'm like, okay, I understand who I am, but why the hell did it take so long to get to this place? So Be Obsessed was a massively important video. It was a message that I wanted I wanted people to resonate with, because it's me understanding what I want to do with my life, being obsessed with this craft, dedicating myself to it, and hopefully seeing some results, seeing some sort of a positive projection for where I want to go. Dear Casey, again, another very, very powerful piece of storytelling, because it spoke to my development, my story as a, you know, as someone in this space who picks up a camera and likes to be creative and come up with a story. Look, I'm still figuring out who I am in terms of like a generic title. Am I a storyteller? Am I a filmmaker? Am I just a content creator? Who knows? You know, it's, I guess it's in the eye of the beholder to label me with, you know, a specific stereotype. But me personally, I would call myself a short storyteller, or a storyteller, a narrator. I don't know. It changes. It differs. But look, this storyteller, narrator, video maker, content creator, whatever it may be, has two types of genres. There's that serious type that I've just talked about. And then there's a less serious type, more creative, experimental side. How to Run 10 Miles was a challenge, a massive challenge for me. It sat in between the... what do you call it? The parameter. It's definitely not the parameter is definitely not the word I'm trying to think of here. I'm trying to think scale. It's out on the scale between, you know, very serious, not serious. So you've got the fun experimental element of making videos, and then you've got the other side of a message, something I'm trying to get across, a story I'm trying to tell for a specific reason in order to hit some sort of a nerve so that I have the viewer feeling something, feeling the sentiment of what the message I'm trying to share, if that makes sense. How to Run 10 Miles sat in between both of those. And then come a bunch of videos that are purely for the sake of experimenting, having fun, and just, you know, expressing myself because of this craft that I've fallen in love with. How to Survive the Rain in London. What I do to escape from life was really the trigger for how my style of making films has developed over time. Some of the shots that I pulled off in this film was, you know, is a representation of what I've come to terms with now, with who I am as a filmmaker. I mean, like I said, my style, the type of shots that I like to take, the kind of the structure in which I like to make my films, electric toothbrush or bristle toothbrush, massively fun video. The best board game in the world. This is a mug cake. Is it worth owning a car? On my way to a date. We built the best table ever. Blah, 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 blah. So look, there is a range of different, you know, stories, short films on my channel. How to Make the Perfect Sandwich and How I Make a Film Every Week. Two contrasting videos. One of them being, no, I mean, the concept behind How I Make a Film Every Week was supposed to be quite powerful. It was supposed to paint a picture of what my life looks like inside of a week from release day, when the moment I schedule a video to be released, to the next release day. And this was a very frustrating film to make because the premise of the movie was to be shot on an iPhone, was to be kept very simple. And, you know, upon releasing it, I've arrived at a conclusive arrangement with myself. I don't like simplicity. I didn't like that project. This project was dedicated to the Neistat filmmaking course that I'm currently doing. I'm in the middle of. So basically the course itself is designed so that we make two different movies. The first one is a very simple amateur style movie. The second one is a little bit more technical, is a little bit more thought out. And the first section that we've just finished was quite underwhelming, if I'm being honest, if only because it wasn't what I expected it was going to be. Neistat's process is polar opposite to what I expected. I initially for me and Nice that have a lot in common, the way that we tell stories. And actually, you know, it's not that we're alike. It's more that I have morphed into a kind of Nice That 2.0. And, you know, thank God that's not the case, because whilst, you know, going through this course, going through the journey of learning what his creative process is, I can clearly distinguish what is and what isn't between our two works. On the face of things, I've been told that my work is very similar to Nice That's in an uncanny kind of way. But now that I've kind of stripped that process and seen how he creates these films, I can, you know, happily say that it's not. You know, the delivery might look similar. There might be resemblances in the, I don't know, the philosophical route in which we both visualize films and how we want them to look, but the process is very, very different. I am very, very, very systematically obsessed with doing things in a particular order. There is an idea, which then turns into a very detailed plan, which then turns into a very detailed script, which then turns into a very detailed sentence by sentence breakdown of what my shots look like. The movie is invented in my head. I see it. I then put it on paper, and then I bring it to life. Nice That, on the other hand, he goes with the flow. It's very spontaneous. It's very sporadic. You'll have moments where he can see the movie. There are other moments where randomness, interestingness comes into play, and it's then implemented within the movie. And it takes me back when I was kind of quote unquote vlogging, wanting to become this vlogger and going through my day. And then right at the end of it, being incredibly frustrated with how difficult it was to edit, because I have no idea what the film looks like, you know, cause you don't know what's happening in your day. Whereas now I know what I want I'll start off with something I want to make the film about. So for example, how I make a film every week. There is a concept, an initial concept in my head that I have identified. I then break it down and bring it into this whole full-blown short film within my head. And I need to then write down what I see in my head so that I don't forget. So yeah, it's been really interesting. But that particular movie I didn't enjoy making because it was just, for me, far too... it lacked what I like to include in films. It lacked, for me anyway, because I make films, the way that I create short films, the way that I make these videos is by creating something that I would want to watch. And there are certain, and this is probably one of the reasons why I'm so hypercritical when it comes to assessing other people's works. And it make, you know, I feel like a douche saying this live and saying this out in the open, but it makes sense as to why I'm so arrogant, and I come across really arrogant, and I come across really, you know, big headed when I brush aside other people's works, and I'm really critical about it, because I like to watch things in a certain way. You know, I, of course, I'm open to different ideas and different methods, and actually I embrace different, but what I don't embrace is things that have been replicated over time, things that are copied, things that are, you know, the norm. But the kind of films that I want to make are the kind of things that I want to see in other people's work. So short frames, not dragging on, not too many speaking scenes. I like a variety of things being represented in a unique kind of way. I despise animation because I think it's a shortcut, and it's the easy way to exploit creativity. I don't know. I just this space that we're in, or that I'm in, it's such a polar opposite space to the mainstream, the norm, i.e. TV and cinema, that I don't want to see anything which is already in cinema being put into this space. I don't think it should. I think YouTube as a platform was created so that individuals like us, people who decide that they want to make videos and post it on the internet, we can express ourselves in a different way than what is being expressed in cinemas and TVs. And I feel like there is a rule book, there is a manual, and there's no other way around it. It's very blunt. It's very black and white. For the most part, you know, when you look at TV and cinema, but we're in a space where we can reinvent visual art. So yeah, very frustrating to be making something, you know, simply on an iPhone and, you know, cutting and pasting. But I was very eager to really get down and dirty and do my part, get involved, do everything properly. I mean, it cost $250. So yeah, I did want to make good use of it. But the second movie that I released, the short film that I released yesterday, whenever you're listening to it, How to Make the Perfect Sandwich, was a fun experimental film. And it was one that, how do I come up with these stupid video ideas? Well, this particular one, I was actually driving to work with my wife and I had to ask her, I have no idea what I'm going to do this week. Can you give me a bit of help? And we were just talking back and forth and I don't know, randomly, must have been talking about lunch or something, but ideas do hit me at different times of the day and anything can trigger it. So this idea, how to make the perfect, I mean, look, let's go on my notes. I've got over 80 video ideas. I'll give you the last few that I've thought of. Being my wife for a week, building a house for £0, capturing the perfect sunset, my biggest motivation, the graveyard, the perfect shopping bag, I hate the sound of gulping water, saying goodbye to the Emirates Stadium, how to work hard, don't believe the numbers, what is halal meat, the perfect pair of jeans, views. It's very, very, very random. Maybe it's not very, very random, but these ideas, I think they fluctuate. They don't sit on any particular, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word that I'm thinking of. I'm not thinking of a word though, am I? So how can I be thinking of a word that I'm not really thinking about? Spectrum. They don't sit on any sort of spectrum. It's all very all over the place. So yeah, anyway, this one that I thought, you know what? How to Make the Perfect Sandwich. I have a sandwich that I love and it has a lot of unique ingredients in it. So this is an interesting idea and I feel like people will really enjoy this. The audience will grasp the satirical side of this video. And so we got started with the planning process and it was fun. It was very, very fun because there are certain videos where when I'm planning them, it's incredibly difficult to structure because it might be a very complex idea that has a lot of layers. This one, very one layered. I didn't know at the beginning that I was going to go through, you know, a bit of a brief history lesson, but it would have been explaining the phenomena with sandwiches, talking about the different types of sandwiches and why they aren't why I've never found the perfect one, and then going through my perfect sandwich and talking, going through the order of ingredients, why they're unique, you know, and yeah, that was, I mean, that's, it's quite simple. It's clear cut. It's to the point. But, you know, upon unraveling that idea and exploring it a little bit more, I found myself, really not complicating it, but working with this simple idea and making it more complex, but in a good kind of way. So, rather than just going through the ingredients, I spoke about, or the idea was to break the sandwich into two parts. You've got layer one, which is a savory part, and then layer two, which was a sweet part. You got sweet potato mix, you've got the sweet and sour dressing, and the top part, you've got the hummus, and you've got the turkey slice. So there was that. There was also making this whole elaborative kind of plan that I'm looking at now, a criteria for what the perfect sandwich is, a blueprint, a satismometer that I made up. So these are the kinds of things that come to me as I'm planning and as I'm unraveling and seeing this movie unfold in my brain. And it's really important that these little things happen. And, you know, it's not plain Jane. And I don't think there's anything wrong with plain Jane if, well, it depends really on the topic of discussion and what kind of story you're telling. But for me, anyway, I always like to think out the box and try to implement as much creativity and as much impulsive imaginary visuals, if that makes sense. Something will pop into my head, and you know, it will need to be that idea. You know, I can't get that idea out of my head. So for example, let's say in particular, how to make the perfect sandwich, you know, it needed to be the beginning bit where I was explaining that this guy, I forgot his name, what it was. Let's find out what his name is, because otherwise it's going to bug me. Perfect sandwich. This guy, John Montagu, how was I going to represent this guy in the film? There's a number of different ways you could address it. You could put a picture up of him on the screen with his name label, and maybe go through an animated journey of how he discovered the sandwich. You could do a live visual kind of representation of that story. I don't know. You could do a model explaining it on a table service, like I like to do. But how I wanted to do it was a mishmash of not all of those things, but two of those things. I didn't want to just sit there and pretend to be this John Montagu guy. I got my iPad, I got a picture of him, I stuck it in front of my face, and I acted it out. And that needed to be executed, because that idea in my head, it was a great one. It was one that presented uniqueness, interestingness, you know, a unique kind of perspective of bringing this idea to life. But I didn't foresee some of the problems that could happen. For example, because I was recording it outside, the glare from the sun, making it difficult for the viewer to capture, to see John Montagu's face on my iPad. I couldn't foresee that because, you know, I was fixated on having this, bringing this alive. So, but that is the excitement, and that's the one thing that, what am I trying to say here? That's why I love this. This is why I have fallen for this trade. It's doing things the way you want to do them because you want to do it that way. There isn't a right or wrong way to do it. You do it because you can. I think, anyway. The other time I fall in love with this whole process again and again and again is when I sit down to edit. And it makes my life a whole lot easier when I know how I'm editing. Meaning when I have a clear structure and when I'm organized. When it's all over the place and I'm, you know, stressed because I don't really know how to make these shots come alive. Like sometimes there are, you know, there are times where I have a specific image in my head that I want to create, but I can't for whatever reason, whether the shot has been taken incorrectly or whether, you know, it's too technical or whatever the case may be. Those are the times where I'm just like, oh, you know what? This is long, but I just remembered. I promised someone I was going to do something for them and I didn't do it. Do I have that book here? A friend has asked me to send them a picture of them in the yearbook that I have from secondary school. I don't know whether that's here or in the office. Anyway, I feel really bad because I did tell him I'd get it to him by today. Well, that's not going to happen. Yeah, that's definitely not going to happen. Anyways, I'm not sure what point I was getting to. Oh, editing, right. And there are other times where I'm sitting at the editing table and I've got everything planned to the T. I know exactly what shot's going to come next. I've got everything. All the shots have been taken perfectly. And yeah, that is a dream for me. Sitting there with a smile on my face and just going with emotions. 5-6 hours later, you're sitting there thinking, oh, is that the time? And then casually strolling into the bedroom, into the bed, and not being able to go to sleep because you just want to wake up and do it all over again. Those are the days that I love. And I want plenty more of those days. But yeah, how to make the perfect sandwich, in particular, my perfect sandwich was a massive, massive success. I really enjoyed making that. I've learned a few things. And actually, to say Neistat's filmmaking course was a little bit underwhelming is to maybe disregard the quality of information. You know, expectations, okay, that's one thing, but you know, some of the tips, some of the insightful breakdown analysis of his work was really welcoming because I managed to implement some of it in the latest film, in How to Make the Perfect Sandwich. Some of the shots that I was taking, you know, another really frustrating part of this process of making a video every single week is the fact that, you know, I leave everything to last minute. And inevitably when that happens, you panic, you're under pressure, you know, time is against you. And there's nothing worse than having time being, you know, having time against you whilst obsessing over the shot. And that's one of my biggest downfalls. That's something that I need to work on, is obsessing over getting that perfect shot, standing over my camera and being really reluctant to press the record button until all the other things around me, until every other condition has been met. But with How to Make the Perfect Sandwich, because again, I left it super duper late, I was a little bit, I was in a little bit of a rush, but I was also conscious of not obsessing over the shots, just getting a gist, just having the idea in my head of needing this shot, needing that shot, but not making it so crisp, so perfect, you know? And it's strange to say that because this is someone, you know, you're talking to someone here who hates perfect shots, perfect cinematography, you know, shots that are lined, shots that are symmetrical. I hate that. I like things to be a little bit rough around the edges. You know, I like the viewer to notice that this isn't perfect, that I can see certain things in the shot that shouldn't be there, because it adds a level of dynamism. It adds a level of, I don't know, chicness. I'm not sure, but originality maybe. Maybe it adds that stamp of authority. Authority? No. Maybe that brand. It stamps my brand right there. This is who I am. I am I am independent to everything else. And that's probably one of the reasons why I do things a certain way, because I want to be in a league of my own. I don't want to be put in the same bracket as everybody else. And that's that little part of the ego talking. But I'm sure as this adventure unfolds, as we continue, I will learn to embrace the fact that we are all in this space together and we're all learning to be ourselves in a different way, you know? Anyway, that's basically my story about this week's film. I actually plan to talk about, I plan to start the show with like how I am and stuff. I don't know if that picked up. My laptop just turned off. It went blank. I pressed the space bar or tapped the mouse thingy and it kind of froze a little bit. So I apologize if it kind of went out. But what I was saying was I planned to start this show with just talking about generally how I am, why I've been away for almost 2 weeks. And, you know, I know I've dedicated myself to making these a weekly thing. But truth be told, the only time I do these things is when I have something to say. And I do treat these sessions, really, as sad as it sounds, as a kind of a therapy session for myself. When I have something to say, when I have thoughts that are building up in my head and I need a release, I come here. This is like my sanctuary. I got that from Mac Miller. What guy? Yeah, this is my safe place. Sitting here on this mic, talking into nothingness, into this empty space, is what my coping mechanism for being me. How do I explain that? Well, we're all complex in our own brains, right? In our own minds. But everybody deals with that complexity. I think it's complexity. Everyone deals with it differently. My dealing mechanism is needing to put it out into the world. In a I don't know, creative, artistic kind of way. I've always been interested in trying art therapy. I think it would be really cool. That was on a side note, but it kind of links to this. Some people bottle it up, don't speak about it, are really miserable, and consequently, you know, build really toxic relationships. Other people, they speak to other people about it, their friends, their families. Other people, they like to go for long drives. Other people, they like to play sport. Me, the way that I deal with my thoughts, complex, subconscious feelings, emotions, all of that is by pouring it into my work and coming here. You know, this podcast was created solely for the purpose of talking, allowing myself to come here and open my thoughts out and put it out into the world. You know, I don't know. I just feel like having it out in the open is it creates more impact and it helps me to digest better than it is to keep it in. But at the same time, I don't like talking to people about it because I don't know whether people are genuinely interested about what my problems are, because my problems don't matter. In the grand scheme of things, they don't matter and they shouldn't, because I've got everything that I need. But yet I complain. And I think I complain for right reasons. I think we're all on this journey of figuring out who we are and what our purpose is. And I figured most of it out. And as weeks go by, I'm learning more and more about myself. I'm learning to put more and more systems in place so that I can cope better. You know, I don't know if I'm painting this out into to be like a really like depressing kind of situation. It's not. It's not something bad, something negative. It's, I guess it's just the way that I express how I feel. And I've been feeling really strange lately. I've been feeling like, you know how you go to sleep the night before your birthday when you're a little kid and you'd wake up and you look at yourself in the mirror and you think, have I grown? Has anything changed overnight? Expecting to feel your body, I don't know, being stretched by an inch or two. I've been feeling that process over the last few weeks. I've been feeling my soul, whatever the thing inside of me keeping me alive, whatever the thing which is causing me to think, my consciousness, my subconscious thoughts, I've been feeling myself change. I'm changing and I can feel it. Because my purpose in life, my overall goals, my targets, my objectives are changing drastically. And maybe not so drastically, because it makes sense. Because I've always been this kind of person, but I've never understood why I've been this kind of person. And I'm not making sense right now, because I'm still quite reluctant to open up and really delve deep into who I am, what I want from life. And what I want from life. I tried to talk to my wife about it today, but again, it was really difficult to break down what I was actually trying to say, like make it make sense. Like I know in my head what I want to say, but I can't say it for whatever reason. And that's really strange to me. This year is a massive year. It's really important. It's make or break. And, you know, the week before the one that's just started, it was a horrific week because I failed in everything. All the systems that I put in place, I neglected them. I felt ill. I caught a cold, and you know how they say man flu. It wasn't really the case of man flu. I dealt with it okay, but I was very, very lazy and I kind of put everything off. Started bringing my phone into the room, sleeping really, really late, waking up really, really late, not being productive. In fact, I don't think I did a single bit of work during that week. It was, you know, the bare minimum, if you like. And, I'm a type of person where if I start something, if I want to start something, it has to be at a specific period. So if I want to start a gym, it has to be New Year's, or it has to be next month, or it has to be at a certain point in time. It can't be tomorrow. I can't start it now. So me jumping back into this system, into the routine that I've started for myself, couldn't start in the middle of the week. Otherwise it wouldn't make sense in my head for some reason. It had to start on Monday. So we started today on Monday. I woke up at 5:30, morning prayers, went down, started working. And, you know, it was really, really nice to be productive again. But I think also during that week, I was going through that developmental phase in my head of continuing to figure out what I want from life, what I want to do in life, what I see my sole purpose, not my sole purpose, but what I see ultimately, what I want to spend the majority of my life doing. Life can be beautiful. I don't know whether it's age or because I'm getting older. I can appreciate what life is, and I can appreciate, and I can put everything in context. I think about, for example, I think about death a lot, but not in a morbid kind of way, more in a contextualized life cycle kind of way. Like, I realize and I understand that I'm going to die, whether it be tomorrow, whether it be next year, 10 years, 50 years, who knows? God knows. But whilst I'm here, you know, I want to make good use of my time. And look, I'm stumbling on my words now. I feel really awkward trying to talk about this because I don't feel like I'm in a position to I don't feel comfortable talking and opening up about what I want to accomplish because, number one, action speaks louder than words. Number two, it's not a big deal. I don't want to make it a big deal. It's a very personal thing, isn't it? Some people are really, you know, comfortable talking about their ambitions, their goals, but I think this is the problem. Here is the problem here. This right here. There is a very fine line. And again, I was trying to explain this to my wife and I couldn't quite explain it very well, but there is a very fine line between flawless execution, seamless, seamingless. Is that a word? Seamingless? Subtlety. There is a very fine line between subtlety and sheer brute arrogance. And I'm desperate to avoid sheer brute arrogance. I shouldn't really care what people will represent or misconstrue based on what I'm saying, because this is more for me than anyone else. But I'm at the same time, I'm conscious that there are people listening, whether it be 1, 2, 3, 100. Someone is listening, and I don't want to paint the wrong image. I'm very, very well aware of what I want to do, but I don't want to share that because I don't want to come across as something that I am not. My intentions are pure. And I think what makes it worse is that because this ambition that I have is so rare, it's almost a fantasy, you know, that people might get the wrong end of the stick and paint me to be someone who I'm not. So I think it's best that I keep that to myself for the meantime. Like I said, I think actions speak louder than words. I think there's a right place and a right time. I don't think this is the right time. I don't think I'm ready to discuss with myself, aside from in my head. I don't think I'm quite ready to talk, bring it out into existence, what I want to accomplish. I've made this into a big deal when it really isn't. Wow, how have I managed to do this? Unbelievable. Having said that, though, I've really enjoyed this episode. I feel like this is the one episode where I haven't oomed and paused for as many times as I usually do, or stopped to think about that word that I'm trying to think of, which is on the tip of my tongue. That's one thing I hate about myself more than anything. No, that's a lie. I'm sure there's something else. There's other things. Anyways, I'm going to leave it there. I want to say a massive thank you to all of you who are listening and who have listened up until this point. I'm really humbled by the kind words that I receive about my work. And I cannot wait to take it to the places where I want to take it and to actually accomplish the goals that I want to accomplish. And I hope it helps people, because that's where I want to take it eventually. My work that impacts, creates a positive impact on a macro level, which is, at the minute, seems really unlikely, but you know, that's what I want. I want to help you. Yeah, I'm going to leave it there. I'll see you next week, hopefully. If not, the week after that. If not, then whenever I'm ready to talk about something, I guess. But once again, thank you very much. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. I'll see you when I see you. I need to go and have dinner because I'm starving. Okay, bye-bye.